Please turn to Mark 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. The two verses that close Mark 9 are among the most difficult in the New Testament to interpret. But I think that we can understand what they're saying to us if we take them in their natural context. In all of these verses in chapter 9 that we've been studying, Jesus has been talking to his people. He's talking to the people of God. First, in verse 42, Jesus warns his people against offending the weaker believer. Secondly, in verses 43 to 48, Jesus warns his people to avoid the terrible and tragic consequences of sins, as we saw in our last study. He's not saying that a believer can lose his or her salvation. He's saying that sin is a destroyer and that it must be handled ruthlessly. In the verses before us, Jesus warns his people that saving him will require sacrifice and purity. Sacrifice and purity. Look in verse 49. Jesus says, "For everyone will be seasoned with fire." Or in the King James, it has, "For everyone shall be salted with fire." As you know, fire is a purifier. Fire is a cleansing agent. Jesus is telling that those who would be his servants can expect to be cleansed through fire. In other words, God will allow us to go through persecution and trials in an effort to make us more like Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, he's talking to the children of God. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, so that for this purpose, when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. For when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. God sends us into the fire so that the flesh and its power over us might be burnt away with. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why do you think it's strange that these things are happening to you? 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. God has appointed the believer to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. We're appointed to this, to persecution. The Lord has promised it. Why is it such a strange thing to you? Look at Acts 14:22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." God sends the fire. God sends the fire so the flesh and its power over us might be burnt away with. Back to our text in Mark. Jesus says, "And every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." This is a reference back to the sacrifices of the Old Testament. When a sacrifice was offered, it was to be offered with salt. We see in Ezekiel 43:24. When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Sacrifice offered, and it's offered with salt. Leviticus 2:13. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. That's what Christ is telling us. Offering with salt. We are to be an offering. We are to be a sacrifice. Christ sacrifices his life for us. And God has called us to sacrifice our lives for others, in the service of others. That's what the Christian life is all about. You're to be made more Christ-like. And as you become more Christ-like, you're to be an offering used by God for other people. That's what Romans 12:1-2 are all about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, notice, you present your bodies because of the tender mercies of God. You present your bodies, notice, a living sacrifice. Those sacrifices in the Old Testament were killed. Christ was the lamb that was killed on our behalf, and now we have become living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is not crazy talk. God's talking to you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See how sanctification takes place? By the renewing of your mind, so that for this purpose, this is the reason why, you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are to be salt. We are to be offerings that have been salted and have been had the fire put in them, roasted and toasted, so to speak. You have the fire put to you through tribulations, persecutions, afflictions, and they make you more Christ-like. And as you're going through the process, you become pliable in the hands of God, so that he can use you for his service, that you would be able to prove what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Back to our text in Romans 9:30. So before we get to, verse 50, before we go back to 9:50, let me just say, and that's why a lot of the things that are happening to you are happening to you, because God is making you more Christ-like. Get it out of your head that he's just trying to make your life miserable for you. He's permitting all these things to come into your life, afflictions, pain, suffering, withholding things from you, so that you would become more Christ-like, that you would be a follower of his, and that you would be used to be in the process of discipling other people. Like I said, God is not some sitting on the throne just saying, oh, let me withhold that, permit this to happen, this pain, this heartache, this suffering, for nothing. And so if everything God does is for a purpose. And the purpose is that you would be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, and that you would live your life in blessing other people. So back to Mark 9:50. Jesus says, salt is good. And so it is. Salt was a valuable commodity in that day. The ancient Jews had a saying that went, the world cannot survive without salt. Matter of fact, the word salary comes from the Latin word salarium. Salt salarium. It referred to the fact that often Roman soldiers were paid their wages in salt, which could be traded ounce for gold. Salt was also necessary for life in the days before refrigeration. Meat would quickly spoil, but if the meat was pickled in a salt brine solution, it would keep for long periods of time. You could see how important salt was. Salt was also good because it made the unpalatable food tasty. Some foods just need a little salt to make them edible. Salt was often placed in wounds to help them heal. Notice, salt placed in wounds. We're called to be salt. Notice, placed in wounds to help them heal. Notice, to help them heal. That person that's hurting, that person that needs compassion, that person that needs a helping hand, if we're called to be salt, and it was placed in wounds to help them heal. You see why Christ is using this illustration in the text? Salt in the wounds to help them heal. Also, stop the spread of corruption. You see all the wickedness about you, around you all the time. And you complain and complain about it. What are you doing about it? You'd be salt. Are you out there stopping the spread of corruption? Salt was a preservative, a flavoring, an antiseptic, and a currency. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? Salt in our day is pure and it does not lose its flavor. In that day, it was often contaminated with other materials. And after a short time, salt would develop a terrible flavor. Salt in that condition was good for nothing. It was to be thrown away. Notice what Jesus says in the text. Have salt in yourselves. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourselves. In this context, to have salt means to be real. To be real, to not be hypocritical. Jesus is telling us that if we are truly the children of God, then we should act and live like children of God. How do we do that? How are we going to be real? How do we do that? How are we to have salt in ourselves? First of all, we're not to cause others to stumble and to fall into sin, but to be a preservative against sin. We're not to cause others to stumble. How else are we to have salt in ourselves? We're to avoid sin at all costs in our lives. We saw that in our last study about the eye. If it offends you, to pluck it out. And remember, once again, the law was using hyperbole to tell that story. We're to avoid sin at all costs in our lives. We're to willingly embrace the salt of a sacrificial life and the persecution that comes with it. Is there a lot of times we take a verse and, you know, we memorize it because we are really blessed by it. Let me show you a verse. I don't hear many people speak of it often. Maybe the first part of the verse, but usually not the second part of it. Philippians 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him. Oh, see, we love that. It's been granted on our behalf, not only to believe in him. So it's been granted, it's been graced to you because of Christ to believe in him. But notice, but also to suffer for his sake. To suffer for his sake. We willingly embrace the salt of a sacrificial life and the persecution that comes with it. When we do this, we'll demonstrate another quality of salt. Salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. When believers are salty and walking as Jesus would have them walk, they create a thirst for the things of God in the lives of the lost around them. You know, many times people fail to realize that the unbelievers embraced Jesus Christ. They invited him to parties. It was the religious people that had a problem with Jesus Christ. The unbeliever saw the goodness and the kindness of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Christ, the miracles of Christ. They realized what a blessing that Christ was. Salt creates thirst. And when believers are salty and walking as Jesus Christ walked, not as a hypocrite, a religious hypocrite, walking as Jesus Christ walked, they create a thirst for the things of God in the lives of the lost around them. The best witness for Jesus Christ is a salty Christian who lives like him. We're to live like Christ. Look at 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're to walk as Christ walked. We are to be compassionate and kind and gentle, long-suffering, extending our hands to others. But so often, Christians are known for what they're against as opposed to what they're for. Everybody, Christians are protesting about everything, up and down. Everybody wants their rights. I'll tell you the truth. You know, you protest all you want. That's between you and the Lord and your conscience. But I'm hard-pressed to open my Bible up and find people protesting. Just a thought. It's a matter of your conscience, brother or sister. That's your conscience. I'm just saying I don't see protesting when I open my Bible. I see willingly submitting to God. That's what I say. That's just a little caveat. We don't cause others to stumble or fall into sin. We avoid sin at all costs in our lives. We willingly embrace the salt of a sacrificial life. Fourth, like salt, we are to be a preserving agent in the world when we come around. See, this is the point I'm trying to make. We're to be a preserving agent in the world. When we come around, our very presence should raise the moral atmosphere, promote honesty, elevate conversation, stir the conscience, and make people want to live a little differently. Our lives should make a difference in the world around us. And is that true in your life? When you come around, your presence raises the moral atmosphere, promotes honesty, elevates conversation, stirs the conscience, and make people want to live a little differently. There's something about you when you come around. Is that true of you? Because like salt, we're to make this world thirsty for Christ. We're to live such God-honoring lives that the world becomes thirsty for Christ. Like salt, we're to make this world a better, more appetizing place to live. The world is bad enough on its own. It don't need Christians making it even worse. Like salt, we're to help stop the spread of corruption in the world. Jesus is simply telling his followers that if we're going to be his servants, then we can expect that God is going to send trials to purify us. and we're expected to embrace the trials and be salt and light to a world that desperately needs what the believer possesses. What we have before us today is a warning about service, telling us about service. It's going to be trials, it's going to be tribulation, it's going to be pain, going to be heartache. You're being conformed into the image of Christ for the purpose of serving those around you. Jesus closes this ninth chapter of Mark by saying, have peace with one another. Have peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. You remember that the disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest among them. In verse 34, we saw that. And then we saw they rebuked the man who was working in Jesus' name, but he wasn't of their number, their tribe. He wasn't a part of their denomination. So they rebuked the guy. So you got the disciples wanting to be the greatest, rebuking others. They ain't doing it quite like we do it. And I think the Lord is saying that his people should not be worried about who's the greatest. And his people should not be worried about rebuking other denominations in the way that they do it. Rebuking others. God's people should be in the business of examining their own hearts. We should sort ourselves and judge our own faults. As I said, we're very quick to point the finger at other people in their sins. It's like, turn that pointer around, that finger around, and point at yourself. And see if there's not a few things that you need to work on, that I need to work on. For we all are a process, we're all a work in process. We're all a work. We're being conformed into the image of Christ. Everybody is falling short of that every day, brothers and sisters. Examine your own heart. We should sort ourselves. And remember, it's easy for us to lose our saltiness and become useless to the Lord. The warning wouldn't be there if it wasn't possible. And if you don't think it's possible, you're on your way to losing your saltiness. We need to remember that it glorifies God when his people live lives of commitment and character. Commitment and character. In an age of such non-commitment and people with no character, what kind of light should we be? What kind of salt should we be? With such non-committal people. Such little character or no character today. Being salty glorifies God. It glorifies God when we forget who might be the greatest among us and prove that we are his by loving one another and being at peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. You're never going to have peace with the world. But could we be more peaceful with one another, brothers and sisters? In the body of Christ, could we be more acceptable of others? Could we not be so tribal? I'm in my little tribe and that's it. That's it. I don't want nothing to do with any other Christian because they're wrong. Only our tribe got it right. Have peace with one another. Christ's not talking to the world. Have salt in yourselves and peace with one another. He's talking. That's one of the one another's. Love one another. Have peace with one another. The question is, where's this message find you today? Maybe you're lost in your sin. And you're headed to hell. Would you like to be saved? Then come to Jesus Christ. Are you struggling to live the right kind of life and having trouble? The Lord Jesus Christ can help you. Come to him. Do you need to be more salty? The Lord can help you. Come to Him. Is the Lord purifying you through trials? Then come to Him. Are you leading people to the Lord or away from Him? Come to the Lord. Let's obey His voice as He speaks to our hearts today. This has been a hard chapter, this Mark 9. Especially the last one. The Lord talking about hell. The Lord talking three times. Their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. I mean, this is a very, very serious chapter. It's chapter 9. Disciples arguing who's the greatest. The Lord talking about tying a millstone around your neck. If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, better to tie a millstone around your neck and be tossed into the water. I mean, there's some heavy-duty sayings in Mark 9. But that's the beauty of the gospel. For no matter where you find yourself in this chapter, arguing who's the greatest, if you're lost on your way to hell, if you're having trouble walking the Christian life, if you're having trouble being salt, if you're having trouble being peaceful, whatever it is, you're being purified, you're being afflicted, being persecuted, whatever it is, the good news is you need the gospel. You need Jesus Christ. You need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you are. If you're lost, you need the grace of God. If you're walking with the Lord, you need the grace of God so that you keep walking with Him. You can't do this on your own. And if you're not walking with Him right now, if you're in a valley in your Christian experience, never forget, we're on a journey to a city on a hill. And during sanctification, there's hills and there's valleys. In sanctification, sometimes you're on top of the hill. And in other times, you're down in the valley. We're on a long, winding road to the celestial city that sits on top of the mountain, on top of the hill. And all of us are going through this journey. And that's the point of believers. With other believers. To help each other. To edify one another. To exhort one another. To admonish one another. To lift each other up. And to encourage each other. Hopefully this message has encouraged you in some way, shape, or form. And may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And may He be gracious to you today, brother and sister in the Lord.